years of service to the Lord at McQuanago Baptist Church right behind the pulpit, and they're still singing, "I Need Thee Every Hour." And appreciate the work that the Lord is a blessing, that parents make the investment, send their kids to camp. As I think of these decisions, I think of each one of them as a significant event in someone's life. We can never calculate how important one decision in a life and what it makes it, how it can make the difference. And so praise the Lord for God working. It's a miracle. It's a miracle, God, that in a life that someone can meet the Lord, hear His voice, make a decision, get a sense of spiritual realities. That's why we believe in camp, because one decision can make all the difference for the rest of a life. And so praise the Lord for that. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Malachi tonight. Songwriter said, "Give of your best to the master." That is a great revelation of our heart, of our status before the Lord. If we are giving of our best to the Lord. Here in the book of Malachi, we have the prophet dealing with Israel. You would have thought that after their captivity and their return to the land, that they would never have any major problems serving the Lord or doing the will of God. But the fact is, they were sinners. They were weak. They were prone to wander. And every one of us are prone to wander except for the intervention of God in our lives. That's why we come to church. We come to church because we recognize that we are prone to wander, and we need to put ourselves in a place where the Spirit of God can do something in our life. Because left to ourselves, we'd all wander away from God. That's why we send our kids to camp, because we know left to ourselves, staying home, we will. Except by the grace of God, we will go down. And we need God's intervention in our lives more than we can ever imagine. But the people of God, after all that they suffered because of their sin, still weren't cured, so to speak. And we find in the book of Malachi, really kind of sad to say, the last book of the Old Testament, we find the departure, the apostasy of the people of Israel. Kind of reminds me, the book of Malachi reminds me of the book of Revelation and the Laodicean church. Tremendous parallel between the two. Here in Malachi, one of the issues was the people were not giving of their best to the Lord. The key word, one of the key words in the book of Malachi is the word "wherein." And we find that in a number of different places. Chapter 1 and verse number 2. "I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved me?" Chapter 1, verse 6, "A son honors his father, a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, Wherein have we despised thy name? It's kind of like they were blind. They were blind to God's statements against them, saying, you're in trouble. You know, where you aren't honoring God. And they said, well, how is it that we're not honoring God? Chapter 1, verse 7 says, you offer polluted bread on my altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? I don't see it. Reminds me of Revelation 3, where it says to the Laodicean church, ye are blind. You're blind. Chapter 2 and verse 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or, where is the God of judgment? Wherein, chapter 3, verse 7, even from the days of your fathers are you gone away from mine ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? We don't have anything to return to. Chapter 3, verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? We haven't robbed God. And God says in tithes and in offerings. And one of the issues, of course, was that they weren't giving God their best. They weren't giving their best to God. Verse 6, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, wherein is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? A couple of thoughts here about giving our best. We recognize that, first of all, giving our best is our normal due. It is our normal due. He said, a son honors his father. That is due. Every son ought to honor their father. Now, we live in a day, and the Bible says, in the last days, that one of the signs of the last day, that men will be without natural affection. There will be a lack of normal affection between children and parents and children, without natural affection. He says the implication is that this is due. A son ought to requite his parents. It's normal. It's normal for a master to have the respect of the servant. And obviously, as he says, where is my fear? It's much more so to God, who is high above any father or high above any master. It is much more so due to God. Perhaps one of the marks of the weakness and the apostasy of our day is this tendency, is this accepted ism that somehow it's okay to give less than our best to God. To give less than our best to God. Of course, he goes on in this chapter about this, that how it would be just absurd for someone to go to their governor or go to a high official and to give them something that was less than their best. But yet, that's the day in which we live. That's the hour in which we stand. That it becomes somewhat normal to give less than our best to God. And it was so acceptable that they said, wherein? I mean, we are doing fine, Lord. Wherein? Show me. I'm doing fine. As we think about this issue and kind of going along with the testimonies, we find very interesting that this issue of giving of our best or giving less than our best, that one of the reasons for that was that the leaders gave less than their best. The leaders gave less than their best. Notice what it says here. O priests that despise my name, ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts. The priests were singled out immediately. Because as the example to the people, as the leader of the people, they were the ones who were setting the example. They were setting the atmosphere of giving less than the best. What was the purpose of the priest? The Bible tells us in Leviticus chapter 10 that the priest had a very special role among the nation of Israel. Leviticus 10, 9 and 10. The Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, and Aaron was the high priest, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation. Wow. What a statement. How 100% opposite of modern priests who worship God with alcoholic beverage. Wow. Notice it says, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die, such an abomination to God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Verse 10, and that ye may put difference between the holy and the unholy, between the clean and the unclean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Notice the role of the priest. His role was to teach the people the difference between the clean and the unclean and the holy and the profane. And in the context, one of the ways that he was going to do it was by his action of never going into the tabernacle with alcoholic breath. Never. Because there was a holy God. And they were meeting with a holy God. And if you're going to meet on the ground of a holy God, you cannot meet with him with alcohol on your breath. Now, what is that? It's showing the people who God was. And the leaders in the time of Malachi, if you read the book of Nehemiah, they had big trouble. The priests made the table of the Lord contemptible. Rather than doing what the Bible says, that the lamb would be one without blemish, they probably ate that for themselves or built their herd on it and took the lame and the blind, the cast off, the one that wouldn't cost them anything, the one that they were going to have to get rid of anyhow, and they brought that to the temple. That was less than their best. Someone was telling me today about a church, Fundamental Baptist Church. And he asked this leader of the church, he says, what about evening service? Oh, we don't have evening service. Why not? Well, because the people stop coming. Really? Why'd they stop coming? Maybe it was because they weren't getting anything. Maybe it was because it really wasn't important to the preacher. Probably it was because the preacher didn't have a vision for the Lord's day. There's an excuse to have an easier day on Sunday. No vision. Really what it represented? Giving less than your best to God. Giving less than your best to God. And the tone of this modern day problem is established by leaders. It was established by leaders in Malachi's day for giving less than their best. You know, there's an old saying, I know I'm going to kind of get mixed up, but you don't get if you don't expect anything, that's what you're going to get. They also say you don't get what you don't inspect. But you know, if a person isn't aiming high, they certainly aren't going to reach it. And there's a reason people don't aim high. You know why? Because they don't sense that God deserves the best. Isn't that the day and age in which we live? What's the big mega church philosophy built on? You know what the mega church philosophy is built on? Is God is the one who's supposed to do all the compromising. God's the one who's supposed to do all the giving. You know, he's supposed to give up his music so that the people can have their music. He's supposed to give up his honor so people can come to church dressed the way they want. He's supposed to give up his day so people can go to church when it's convenient for them, Saturday or whatever other day. God's supposed to give it all up. Well, that's the same principle, isn't it? Leaders are teaching the people that God doesn't deserve the best. You know, I believe we have some future leaders in this church building tonight. I wonder, what are you going to teach the next generation? What are you going to teach them by your example? What are you going to teach them by your attitude about God? Giving of less than our best has always been a time of backsliding or apostasy. That's what it was in the day of Malachi. It was a day of apostasy. It was a day of backsliding. And they were giving their less than their best. I think of revival 1858. We all read about Hudson Taylor. And thank God for Hudson Taylor and for God, how God used him But there's an ingredient about Hudson Taylor that many times most people don't put into the calculation. Hudson Taylor came back to from China to England in 1860. What happened in 1858? There was not only the prayer meeting revival in America that swept America, but there was a revival that swept England. Thousands were saved, and thousands now under the influence of God wanted to serve God with their lives. And now there were thousands of people who were anxious to serve God. And Hudson Taylor, his movement was a layperson's movement. Thousands of people had been converted and given their life to God under the revival of 1858. And when Hudson Taylor came to England and said, "Come with me and die in China," they said, "We will gladly do so." There was a generation of people who were willing to give their best for God. It was a time of revival. But the time of backsliding is that time in which people are satisfied to give God less than their best. They were satisfied to give God the lame and the blind. And when God confronted them about it, they says, "What? I haven't done anything wrong. What's the problem?" It's interesting what the Lord says in response to the excuse of the priests and the Israelites, Malachi chapter 1. "Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire in mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand." Verse 11, "For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts." God always is going to find someone who will give God their best. God will find someone who will give God their best. Because God will be glorified. He is worthy to be glorified. He ought to be glorified. Who should give God their best? Can you think of any other people that have more reason that they ought to give their best to God than the people right in this building tonight? Give of your best to the Master. You giving God what's left over? You're giving God what's left over? You're giving God your second best? How do you give God your best? A couple thoughts here. How can you give God your best? You can give God your best, young person, by preserving your heart from sin in your youth. Preserving your heart from sin in your youth. So you can give a clean mind, a clean heart, a clean vessel to God. You can give God your best by being clean. Had a little booklet in my library years ago. It was called "It's Better to Build Boys Than to Mend Men." It's better to build boys than to mend men. Preserve your heart from sin. Give of your best to the Master. This is the act of worship for God right now in your youth. To keep your heart clean. To determine no rock music. No trash in my mind. No pornography. No trash of Hollywood. Forget the blogs of the scoffers. Keep your mind clean and your heart clean. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, it's all about giving your best to God. Does He deserve it? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to give Him your best. How can you give your best to God? You can use your youth to develop your character and abilities for God. You can use your youth to build your character and your abilities for one purpose. Not to be great in something, but for the purpose of serving God. You know, that is a willful act and a rightful due act of worship to God. And you know what? It is something that only, in one sense of the word, only Christian young people can do. No one else can do it. They can do it at different levels, but they can never. No one can do it for God after their youth has spent. They're only giving the leftovers. You say, what can I do for God? You can give Him your youth. You can purpose to give God your youth. You can purpose to develop your character. You can purpose to develop your abilities. To serve God. Something that only a Christian young person can do. Do you think God expects it? He does expect our best. Give of our youth to the Master. Perhaps we could, thirdly, we could say, how do we give our best to God? We give the first part of our day to God every day. Give the first part of our day to God every day. Start every day with God's Word. I realize that you can tweak that a little bit. But we need to seek first the kingdom of God. We need to start our day with God. We need to put God first. You know, the best part of my day, in one sense, the older I get, the best part of the day is when I first get up. Because old age is setting in. I'm not as bright at the end of the day. I'm weary. Give the best of your day to God. You know, that's kind of an indication of the rest of your life too, isn't it? Do you give God the first part of your day to God? Do you meet Him first thing in the day? Or are there a bunch of other things that are priority? And then you fit God in. Praise God if you do. But where do you put God? Give Him your best. Give of your best. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your first fruits. You know, if we're going to give our best to the Lord, I found out something financially. If you're going to give your best to the Lord, you need to live purposely, simply. Simply. And frugally. So you can give the best of your resources to God. You can't give the best of your resources to God if you don't live simply. He that loveth wine and pleasure shall not be rich. It takes a purposeful, simple, frugal lifestyle to be able to give the best of your resources to God. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God deserves our best. Of course, if we're going to give our best to God, that means we're going to give Him our children. Because that's the best thing we have on this earth. We're going to raise our children for God. You know what? There's nothing more important than raising your children for God. I tell you what, there's nothing more important than raising your children for God. You can give every excuse in the world why you're going to miss church. Every excuse you want to. But I'm telling you, the problem is you don't want to give your best to God. We can have all sorts of excuses why we want to be entertained by the world. And we want to go to these places of entertainment of the world. We have all these excuses why we can have this weak need music. We have all the excuses, but the real issue is we don't want to give our best to God. And we won't give the best that we have to God. We won't raise them for God if we don't give them our best. Selfishness is destroying Christianity. Selfishness is destroying families. Because families aren't worshiping God with their best. And the best thing we have are our children. Tells a lot about our relationship to God. What we will do with the very best thing that we have, our children. We don't need to say this, but why should we give our best? The Bible says this, that God is, old King James word, God is terrible. Today, the word terrible has a negative connotation. And when you think of terrible, you think, terrible. But terrible always had two definitions. Terrible in a negative sense. Terrible in the sense of, oh, he is greater than I could ever imagine. He is so great that all I could dare do is fall down before him and worship him. Why ought we give God our best? So because he is so great. He is so great. Why ought we give God our best? Because he hath given us his Son. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Why should we give God our best? Because he has forgiven us. Who will love him the most? Who will give him the most? The one who he has forgiven the most. Why should we give him our best? Perhaps the words of the angelic beings in Revelation 5 put it so succinctly. Revelation 5:12. I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. He is worthy. He is worthy. Wonder today, are we blind? To the true spiritual attitudes that we have about the Lord, about serving him. Do we make the mistake of looking at what other people are doing around us and being falsely confident that we're okay? Or are we truly giving of our best? To the Master. Are we giving our best? There was a church started not too long ago around here. They're meeting in a school. They said they were a fundamental church. They even said they were Baptist. But they're meeting in a school so they couldn't meet on Sunday night. They met in that school for about 10, 15 years. They didn't believe in debt, so they waited for 15, 20 years till they had all the money that they needed to build a new church building. So, they met on Sunday morning, never met on Sunday night. They couldn't meet on Sunday night, they met in a school. They built their brand new church building, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful building. They still only have church on Sunday morning. $1 million building, hardly ever used. They meet just on Sunday morning. I talked to one of their members. And they said, oh, we couldn't have church on Sunday night. We're so busy. We have so many things to do. We don't have time to go to church on Sunday night. I wonder if the Lord would say, wherein have you despised? Would the Lord say to them, you have despised my altar? And they would say, wherein have we despised thine altar? Blind to giving God less than their best. Don't have time to give God a few more hours. Don't have time to give God his day. Don't have time to make him first and priority in all that they do. Don't have time because in their heart they've lost a sense of who God is and what Jesus Christ has done on Calvary's cross. It's so easy to do in the comforts of this day. You know, it gets hot, turn on the air conditioning. Turn on the fan. Wow. It's so comfortable today that we don't really sense how great God is and all we owe him. Young person, worship is always a deliberate act, premeditated act of the will and mind. What will you do with your youth? Some young people here are kind of lazy. They don't study well. They don't practice well. They don't work hard. They're lazy. You aren't giving your best to God. You need to decide that God is worthy of your best. And you need to decide that you're going to give him your youth. You're going to give him a straight A report card. You're going to give him the decision to accomplish musical and other important abilities. You're going to give God your body, your eyes, and your ears. He said, I'm going to keep them clean. I'm going to keep them pure. I'm not going to defile them. I'm going to give my best to God. I'm going to give him my best. And that is true of us. What about our time? What about how we live? We living for ourselves so we can give our leftovers to God? Or are we living simply so we can do the most with our life for God? It's a determined, predetermined act of the will of how we're going to worship God. Worship isn't just here. Praise God, we are here. But worship has to do with what we're going to do with our life, our time, our treasures, our talents, what we're going to do with our life for God. Will we give him our best? Or we give him the leftovers? Give of your best to the Master. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight because we need this reminder. Life is filled with many times temptations to cut a corner, to give God less than our best, to make an excuse to put something ahead of what's right, to make an excuse to defile our mind or our body or our eyes. And try to worship God with a heart that's cold. And divided. Lord, you live in the realm of that which is the best, not in the realm of the leftover. And I pray that, Lord, as we think of how we can apply this to our life, we pray for moms and dads to give the best, their best, to their Savior, to give their best to their children. To raise them for God. Pray for young people. Pray for each of us at this moment in life, wherever we are. We can give him the best of the rest of our life. It's a calculated act of worship. May you move in this auditorium even now as we consider what you are worthy of. And we consider a day in which giving less than that is normal and acceptable, but not before you. And so while our heads are bowed and eyes closed, God is speaking to your heart. That is a privilege. If God is dealing with you tonight, what a privilege that is to have the Spirit of God convict and deal with us, prod our heart, prick us. What a privilege that is. God's tugging at your heart. Maybe even you know that you have purposely calculated not to give your best to God. Maybe your young person has been fighting giving yourself to God. The Spirit of God is dealing with you tonight. There's little areas in our lives in which we haven't been giving God our best. Giving him the leftover time for our devotions, etc. You say, you know, the Lord has specifically spoken my heart tonight. Perhaps a general principle of giving him my best. Perhaps a specific area of your life in which you haven't been giving him your best. But the Lord is dealing with your heart tonight. And say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's what you deserve, my best. Life can be lived as an act of worship all day long. Life can be lived as an act of worship all our life. You say, God is speaking to me today. Tonight, about being decisive, about giving God my best. Say, Pastor, by an uplifted hand, that is an indication that God has spoken to me and I have surrendered to him, done business with him tonight. Maybe it's just the attitude that you have found that hasn't been in your heart. Maybe it's a specific action. Whatever it is, say, God spoke to my heart. I've dealt with the Lord. I've come to terms with the Lord about the best. With God's grace, that's my perspective, my aim. Just let, by an uplifted hand, God will just kind of confirm that decision in your life. Amen. Many different hands. Give God my best, not my leftover. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, young people, Give them your life, your youth, to be clean and pure, to live for God. I'm going to give them my best. Something that nobody else can offer. Purity of life. All the days of my youth. Keep my lips from alcohol, my ears from rock music, my eyes from immodesty. Going to give myself to live purely for God and train my life for Him. God's speaking to your heart about that. And that's a specific decision that you need to make. Praise the Lord. See a couple of hands. Others. Yeah, amen. Give my life to be pure, to give for God. Amen. Others, God is speaking to your heart. Only you can give that kind of sacrifice to God. Keep my life pure, my heart, my mind, my ears, all those things. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Others, okay. Amen. A direct act of worship. A God that is worthy. Give Him our best. Okay. Praise the Lord. Others as well. Amen. This is a calculated decision. Calculating your life. Give Him a clean vessel. Used for Him. Amen. Okay. Praise God. Others. Amen. A calculated decision of giving my best to worship God. Amen. Anyone else? Okay. Praise the Lord. I see that as well. Okay. In front. Amen. Lord, one life given for You. Is worthy to bring glory to You and will bring glory to You. But we rejoice in many, many even this night, who have said, I will give a clean life to God. And Lord, we trust that it truly has been calculated through Your Spirit, the sense of that genuine. And Lord, we rejoice in that. And Lord, we know there are many temptations and trials in life. But though those so easily go by the wayside, when our focus is looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so work in these hearts and every life. And may even the thoughts of giving of our best to Thee, may they be willful acts of surrender and living, of which Your Son is worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.